This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Coronavirus cases are on the rise, and schools and athletics are living in uncertainty as to whether in-person classes and games will be possible as we move towards fall. Policing changes are being worked on at all levels of government, and economic hardship abounds with no clear answer as to whether another relief bill will come out of Washington or when. Most every Friday, we check in with 12th District Congressional Representative Debbie Dingell for insights on these issues from a federal perspective. Today is another one of those Fridays, and thank you so much for making time for us today.
Good morning, David. It's always good to talk to you any time of the week.
I am a bit alarmed. 41 states reporting increases in the number of COVID-19 cases over the last 2 weeks, including Michigan. California, Florida, Texas this week reported the most single-day deaths since the pandemic began. More than 3 million Americans have tested positive. More than 133,000 have died. And we keep pressing forward with the reopening of the economy. Are you as alarmed as I am?
I'm very alarmed, but I think that more than you and I being alarmed, we need to be paying attention to Dr. Fauci and other members of the task force, the White House task force, some of whom seem to have disappeared, who are raising the alarm bells and are saying that we are at a tipping point. Anybody who just wants to make light of this, I want you to look at an emergency room doctor in Texas, which initially had been one of the states that have been very cavalier. The governor had made fun of it. Now he is not. There is actually a fine if you're not wearing your mask outside. But this doctor in an emergency room had 10 young people, 10, who were in need of support and 3 beds in the ICU unit. And needed to decide which young people might live or die. That's where we're at in this country. We shouldn't be there. We can prevent this. We need to do it. And scenes like what we saw at Diamond Lake over the 4th of July are unacceptable, inexcusable, and have to stop.
And I'm sure that you have made your way out more than most. In fact, of the matter is, maybe half the people are wearing masks.
It depends where you are. I was very disturbed. I actually, on the 4th of July, did a number of events, and I did a Black Lives Matter event in Ipsy, and I called the organizers ahead of time. They were young people, and they promised me they were going to do masks, and they were great. But I was with many veterans on Independence Day, and quite frankly, many of them older than I am. And I'm just scared for them. I know everybody's sick of this. I know everybody's tired of this, but I don't want them to die. People need to realize this is serious. It's not gone, and it's not going away.
In fact, the Ivy League has canceled fall sports. The Big Ten Conference yesterday canceled its non-conference fall sports schedule, and a full cancellation of the seasons are certainly possible. Since college athletes returned to campus for voluntary workouts, COVID-19 has already forced many to hit the pause button because of a high number of positive tests. How can we possibly expect the same won't happen at even higher levels if universities, colleges, and K-12 schools reopen to in-class instruction in the fall?
I think it's something very real that we have to think about. I think it's one of the reasons that the University of Michigan was one of the later schools to announce their fall plans, because you've got an immunologist that's president and knows all of the dangers. Certainly large lecture classes at any university are not going to happen. They're going to move online. They're going to do their best to keep people apart, wearing masks, etc. But schools are going to have to be, at the university level, nimble enough that if you start to see increased cases, you're going to have to do something different.
And that brings us to a whole other subject matter. Our conversation with 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell continues on 89.1 WEMU. On Thursday, yesterday, you and Representative Mark Pocan from Wisconsin led more than 100 of your colleagues in opposing the Trump administration's changes to what is called the Student and Exchange Visitor Program. That would mean students taking a full online course load would not be able to remain in the United States, putting all of those international students at risk. You've asked the Department of Homeland Security to rescind the policy and provide certainty for international students and the higher education community. Did you get any feedback on that yesterday?
Well, I've been working this all week since the announcement was made, and will continue to do it. When several universities, University of Michigan joined the suit yesterday, have filed in the courts, I am talking to Jerry Nadler, the chair of the Judiciary Committee, and others about what we legislatively can try to do to stop this. It is simply inexcusable. These students are here. They've already paid the rent. They've already paid their tuition. It contributes to, even if you're not in a classroom, the educational experience of students being with each other at a distance, talking to each other. We're going to do everything we can to get this overturned, and there are many people working with me, and we are working with many others to try to overturn this rule.
And beyond the issues of discrimination and access to education, there are economic issues that go along with that. Schools like Eastern Michigan University are truly dependent on the higher tuition rates international students pay. And if these students are not allowed to attend and that money dries up, access to higher education will lessen for everyone. And yet, I can't imagine you expect the Trump administration is going to back off. Is this going to have to end up in the courts?
It's in the courts, and I think I'm not sure if we can try to get something done in the next 2 weeks in the Congress, so I'm certainly pursuing that on a bill that moves, and I never say never, but we are looking at every single option, David, that we have in front of us to try to do something about it.
This is 89.1 WEMU. We're talking with 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, and to continue along the economics front, based on what you see and what you know, do you still maintain that a new coronavirus relief package will be passed by the end of this month?
I am feeling more optimistic about it. I always felt like the Senate would have no choice but to finally do something. But this past weekend, both Senator McConnell and John Cornyn, who's number two in among Senate Republicans, both said that we have to do something. I think the next 3 weeks you're going to see a lot of tough negotiations. Some of it, I'm reminded of the old saying, people with weak stomachs shouldn't watch sausage or laws being made. But I do believe we will get a package that will extend unemployment. We'll have another stimulus package, and we'll get direct aid to state and local governments. People on both sides of Congress, House and Senate, know it has to happen.
But there are Republicans in leadership positions who are saying we're going to limit this to under $1 trillion, and, you know, that is a lot of money. At the same time, there are many who will say that doesn't begin to touch what is actually needed.
I was in a meeting yesterday with Nancy Pelosi, who made it very clear that that number was going to be too low. And I want to remind everybody listening to us today that the head of the Federal Reserve said now is the time that we must invest in this country. So Nancy was very clear and very adamant that she was going to hold tight for many of the programs that we need to have. And you know what? I'll put my money on Nancy Pelosi winning in those negotiations.
I want to dive a little more into the impacts of much of what we've been talking about, all of the subject matters tied into one. New federal data shows that Black and Latin Americans have been three times more likely to become infected with COVID-19 than white Americans. Black and brown people are more on the front lines of the essential and low-paying jobs that have continued working through the pandemic. Access to quality education is lower for the African-American and Hispanic communities. And we are still waiting for meaningful change in policing practices that more adversely affect these segments of our communities. There's a lot of talk about action. Where is the progress in your estimation?
Well, the House passed reform in the George Floyd reform and policing bill 2 weeks ago. I think that this week there are a lot of discussions. Karen Bass and Jim Clyburn are leading them about whether the Senate should go to conference with a bill that is not as strong as the House bill. And I think Jim Clyburn very much wants to try to get action this year. Many of the Democratic senators don't want to vote, and I understand why, for a bill that is not as strong as the House bill. I think that there are a lot of people that are going to be having some tough discussions in the next week or two about whether we should try to get something done this month or wait till we elect a Democratic president in November.
That sounds certain on your part.
I'm being positive. I think Donald Trump helps us every day. But that if and when we get a Democratic president in November, there would be better policy that could come from that. Though I must say to you, Jim Clyburn, who is the highest-ranking African-American in the House, has some pretty strong feelings about the need for action now.
I want to end our conversation today on a more personal note. Wednesday would have been your late husband's birthday, and as you reflect on that relationship with John Dingell, on his political wisdom, having served in some of America's other difficult and turbulent times, what did you come away with this week?
Well, I wish he had been here. I wish we could hear his Twitter. I think that John would tell us it was a time for us to come together. He warned us about what was happening to this country and how it was being divided with fear and hatred. I think he would be a very wise man that young and old would listen to, and that all of us have to remember we're Americans. Too many of us don't say we're Americans and are proud of it right now. We got to work together and get through this. America's gotten through tough times before. We're at a crossroads. It's a time to have some very strong, important national dialogues, and we'll come out of this stronger at the end.
I thank you so much for your time today, and we will check in again with you next week.
I look forward to it. Thank you, David.
That is 12th District U.S. Representative Debbie Dingell. She joins us most Fridays to discuss the federal perspective and what is happening in Washington and how that impacts us in the state of Michigan and here in Washtenaw County. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.